And now, young Widder Brown. Tomorrow, Evan Brown's fiancé, Dr. Anthony Loring, is to enter a courtroom and hear himself presented to a jury as the man who, in the opinion of the state prosecutor, is guilty of murdering Horace Steele. Tomorrow will begin the trial of an innocent man, for it was Lita Haddon who shot Horace Steele. Lita Haddon, who is the eyewitness on whom the prosecutor bases his case against Anthony. Now, Ellen is with Anthony at the New River City prison, and as they talk, it seems to them both that there is no hope in the days ahead.
Doesn't seem possible, Anthony. All along, I've been so sure that the trial would never actually take place.
And here it is. Will you be there, Ellen?
I'll do whatever you want me to do, Anthony. I want to be with you, always. On the other hand, I don't want to be something else for you to have to think of. Another problem for you, do you see?
Yes, I know. I think I'd rather you weren't there.
Whatever you want.
You see, I'm still a little vain with you, dear. Still a little concerned about what you think of me. The kind of showing I make with you, and so...
Yes, I know. But if you could only realize that I'm always proud of you. Constantly glad that you're you. The man who's so important to me. Who's my life.
Now you tell me.
Now I tell you. I know that it's always at times like this that we put aside all the inhibitions. I wonder why.
Well, I think we hold back for fear we'll be suspected of being soft and over-emotional.
Anthony, it isn't going to be very pleasant for you at this trial, listening to what District Attorney Ralph Jordan will try to make the jury think about me.
No, it isn't.
But Herbert Temple says we have to take it and be calm about it, so that we don't lose our initial position, our dignity.
Yes, I know.
Herbert is sure that Ralph Jordan will read those love letters I'm supposed to have written to Horace Steele.
Herbert's having a handwriting expert present, you know.
Yes, but the letters will still be read. Anthony, I never wrote a word to Horace Steele that could be construed as a love letter. What these are, I don't know.
Well, I do. They've come from the distorted mind of Lita Haddon. She either forged them herself or had them forged. Herbert will try to prove that.
Poor Herbert. To have to prove so much.
Mm. I wonder what Horace Steele would say if he knew I'm accused of his murder. I think he'd be terribly surprised.
I think he'd feel terribly ashamed, too. Because, Anthony, I was fond of Horace. But as you look back on his life and his death, everything he did was inconclusive. Everything he did led up to his death.
Mm-hmm. You could say that of me, dear. Everyone has great hindsight about
people. I couldn't say it of you, darling, because you recognized the insanity in Lita Haddon at once. Horace Steele knew her for years. He let her be his friend. He listened to her when she advised him about his daughter, Jacqueline. Anthony, the story of Horace Steele is heartbreaking, but it's the story of a man who hurt himself, who was responsible for his own misery.
How do you account for it, Ellen? Horace was brilliant enough in his business dealings.
He concentrated on his business dealings to protect him from all the responsibilities he owed his family, even his wife before she died.
Do you know anything about her?
Only what Jacqueline tells me. That her mother was a slave to Horace. When she died, he was angry at a whole world.
Mm.
And he tried to punish his wife by falling in love with Lita Haddon. But he couldn't love her, and he led Lita on, and the poor girl believed him.
That seems like harsh talk from you, dear. You're usually more compassionate.
Oh, compassion doesn't fit here, Anthony. Not when our lives are at stake like this, and they are at stake. How many people can stand this kind of holocaust?
Ellen.
Yes, Anthony.
Stop it.
Stop what?
Stop talking like that. Stop letting fear change you. You don't believe any of it.
I do.
No, you don't. You're angry, Yes, we both are, because we're wasting good weeks and days and months. But what can we do? We're caught in a crazy whirlpool of events.
I am afraid, Anthony.
Only because this isn't happening to you. You wouldn't be afraid if you were the one going on trial. I know you. But because I'm the one, and you can't take all the suffering yourself, you're afraid.
Perhaps you're right. I'd do it so gladly. I can't bear for someone else to suffer. Even with my children, it's been like that. I could never stand their pain.
Oh, but darling, Ellen, you can't assume the sufferings of everyone. And standing by watching is part of it all. I'm going to be all right. Even if I lose, I'm going to be all right.
Even if you lose? How can you say that, Anthony?
Because I'll derive the courage to accept it somehow. I think I have an infinite store of courage to draw on. Ellen, whatever happens, I'm not going to let this make me collapse. I'm not going to let that happen. I mean it.
You make me feel a little ashamed.
Well, I apologize. I don't mean to do that. I only mean to wake you up to your old self. To your old stalwart self, who used to ask for giants to fight.
I think I'd rather fight giants than devils, Anthony. And Lita's a devil. She's evil incarnate.
She's sick.
All right, with a sickness that can poison all of us.
She may crack at the trial. You can't tell.
Do you think so, Anthony? Do you think there's a chance she will?
Mm-hmm. Everyone has a breaking point. Lita Haddon killed Horace Steele and is facing a jury to tell them I did it. Now, the mind can be tricky, and it can betray you. You can steel yourself to a pattern of behavior and then make a stupid mistake that wrecks the job.
You're trying to cheer me up. You're handing me little shreds of hope tied up in a kind of professional knowledge. It's no good, Anthony. Don't do it. Lita won't crack. She'll never crack.
No word from our private investigator friend?
No. No, Anthony, no word. Whether Kevin could see Miss Scott, the head of that school Lita went to in Connecticut, I don't know. Jacqueline's had no word from him since he went there.
Kevin Walsh is a very independent private investigator. Obviously, he sets his own rules of behavior.
Yes, I know.
Well, darling, it's getting late. I have to go back and get my rest. I'm making a personal appearance tomorrow in quite a big show.
Anthony. Oh, Anthony.
No, don't stop smiling, Ellen, darling. Let me make my little jokes, no matter how bad they are, please. You're my only weapon, Ellen. You and your smile. Please, darling, don't be afraid.
And many miles away, Kevin Walsh has returned to the beautiful mansion in Connecticut which houses Miss Edith Scott's School for Young Ladies. And once more he faces the tall, austere woman who looks at him with snapping dark eyes as he now comes into her office again and says...
It's no use, Mr. Walsh.
Why isn't it any use, Miss Scott?
Because I do not intend to be cajoled by a handsome young man. You're wasting your time if you think that you can charm your way into my life and make me involve myself in this murder case.
You know, I don't think you're being honest with yourself, Miss Scott, or with me.
You said that before, Mr. Walsh.
And I haven't tried to charm you.
There are many ways a young man uses to attract an old lady's attention, either by being gracefully mannered or surprisingly rude. At our first meeting, you told me I lied. You're telling me so again. And that is the method of shock.
Look, I'm not using methods at all. I'm just a guy asking questions, trying to ferret out the truth about a situation so an innocent man's life will not be ruined. You know that your better self tells you to go along with me, but your commercial self says, what will happen to Miss Edith Scott's School for Young Ladies?
Young man, you're wrong.
Prove it. Come back to Simpsonville and see this man who's going on trial for his life. See Jacqueline Steele again. See Lita Haddon. Be with us. Live with all of us.
Anything that I told on the stand would only hurt.
Wouldn't it help this man? He's a good man. Anthony Loring, a doctor, a healer. He's built a great community hospital. He's a man worth keeping at his job.
I do not think that what I have to say would accomplish that, Mr. Walsh.
Well, tell me this, Miss Scott. Would what you know about this girl, about Lita Haddon, change a jury's opinion of her testimony in any way? Are you afraid to answer that?
No, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of anything, Mr. Walsh. I simply don't know.
Tell me then. Tell me and let me judge. Tell me what you know about Lita Haddon, and I'll go along with you if I feel that it won't help. Will you bargain with me like that, Miss Scott? Please.
Kevin Walsh is becoming desperate. Is it because he feels that a revelation is close? One that might help Anthony and young Widder Brown?